Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you share it with a friend. Humanity's free will is our greatest strength and a huge vulnerability. The Hebrews had seen the 10 plagues that ravaged Egypt, walked across a dry sea floor, seen Pharaoh's army drowned, eaten supernatural manna, gotten water from a rock, and seen Mount Sinai covered with fire and smoke. Did these miracles instill faith in the Israelites? Not one bit. Their journey brought them to the Promised Land, and 12 men were selected to explore the area. Lucifer convinced 10 of the men that it was impossible to prevail against the inhabitants. Their attitude amplified the fear and belief felt by the people to the point that the entire camp rose up to stone Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb. As a result, Jesus condemned the adults to death in an unusual way. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm going to be preaching today probably one of the saddest sermons that I've done over the years, 50 years of preaching. Miracles do not produce faith. Miracles do not produce faith. Look at the outline here, and I'm going to try to follow the outline so I stay on top of it. After the incident with the golden calf, the God had paused the virtual time run to discuss how the project to establish the Messianic bloodline was coming along. They acknowledged that Lucifer and his minions were heavily relying on the issue of humanity's free will to deceive the Hebrews into rejecting God. Lucifer and his fallen angels vigilantly watched to make sure that God did not use any more power than had been agreed to at the trial prior to Adam. Now, this concept is brought out in the book of Job that had already been written since Job had been a contemporary with Abraham some 600 years earlier. So the book of Job existed 600 years before Moses. And I want you to turn with me now to the book of Job, which is just before Isaiah. And some of you might have tuned in for the first time today, so you don't know. I got a series here. But just to recap very briefly, prior to Adam and Eve, Lucifer rebelled against God. There was a space war that went through the entire universe. He was defeated. He was moved back to this earth, which was his home planet. There was a trial. At the trial, he was sentenced to the lake of fire. He objected and said, "How can a loving God cast his creature to everlasting punishment?" And God simply then had to start to prove his righteousness. And that's why mankind was created, Adam and Eve. So there is a courthouse located in the universe, not in heaven, but in the universe. And from Job chapter 1, verse number 6, we read this. "Now there was a day where the sons of God," and sons of God here means angels, "came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'Where are you coming from?' And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil? or simply rejects evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for naught? Have you not made a hedge about him, about his house, about all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth your hand now, and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." What Satan wants to do is, he wants to attack you. He wants to destroy you. Where you come to the place that you are cursing God, and you want nothing to do with God, that is the purpose of Satan. And if you look down verse number 12, "And the Lord said to Satan, Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth your hand." So Satan went forth in the presence of the Lord. Satan can only afflict you to the degree that God allows. Now what the devil will do is this. He will try to make you to break spiritual laws. Let me try to explain that to you. We have traffic laws. Most people driving on the roads are not really thinking about, I'm so scared, you know, there are highway patrol guys around here. You notice that if you keep the speed limit, you stop at stop signs, you stop at red lights, and you obey as much as you can think of the traffic laws, you are never bothered by a highway patrol guy. But if you begin to break the traffic laws, eventually you will be flagged down, stopped, given a ticket, citation, and your insurance goes up. But if you have two or three incidents, if you get caught for drunk driving, what will happen to you is that eventually you will lose your license. And once you lose your license, you can't drive. If you drive, they take your car away from you if you catch it. So we have the same principle here, that now we have Satan, his fallen angels, evil spirits, and they are watching us continually. And if they can make us to break one of God's laws, that give them a legal right to attack you. So what happened to Job? Well, he had 10 children. They died. He lost his business. He lost his animals. He lost everything. Chapter 2. "Again, it was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, From whence are you coming? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, for walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God, eschews evil, and still hold fast his integrity, although you moved me against him to destroy him without cause." Notice this, when you get afflicted, many times it is without cause. "And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man has will he give for his life. But put forth your hand now, touch his bone and flesh, he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, Behold, he's in your hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did Job not sin with his lips. So I'll share that with you to show you that there is a courthouse, and that we have Satan, fallen angels, and we have evil spirits. In Genesis chapter 3, if you'd flip back there to Genesis chapter 3, the choice weapon that Lucifer has is deception. So we read here the first 6 verses from Genesis. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, has God said, you shall eat of every tree of the garden. So here's Lucifer now possessing the body of the serpent. And he says, now this is a question. Has God said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He knew very well that God has said you can eat of everything except the tree of good and evil, that you have knowledge. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. It's a half-truth. For God knows that in a day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I remember when LSD was introduced in the United States back in the 60s. And it was proclaimed that drop in, drop out, drop the acid, and experience God. So a lot of hippies at that time. And they simply got hooked on LSD because they got into a trip, a psychedelic trip. Some of the trip was really bad. Some thought they had a good trip, but they were trying to seek God. You can't find him through LSD. You find the devil at the end. So now, Satan said, here's what God is doing. He's holding back on you. He doesn't want you to know everything. If you eat of this tree, you will be like gods, small g. Now the woman looked at it. The tree was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took out a fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And sin had entered into the world. If you turn to Luke chapter 4, as we talk about deception, now Lucifer, or Satan, is now facing Jesus himself. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he after hungered. And the devil said to him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be bread. He challenged him. If you are the Son of God, you're hungry. There's some rocks here. Make them into bread. And Jesus answered and said, written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil takes him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered to me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If you therefore worship me, all shall be yours. Was that a temptation? Yes, it was. Jesus saw the cross. He saw them pluck out his beard. He saw them beat him mercilessly by the Roman soldiers. He saw himself, his body, crucified on the cross. huge nails driven through his hands, a big spike through his feet. He saw all of that, all that pain. And then the smiling devil said, you know, hey, you don't have to do that. All I need you to do is to fall down, say one time, Hail Satan, and we're done. You don't have to die for mankind. Deception. Satan could not give the kingdoms to begin with, but he was trying to deceive Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, Get you behind me, Satan, with the written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from thence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, It is said, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and there went out the fame of him through all the region round about. Satan will continue to tempt if you turn out to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm thinking here for those of you that saw the dedication we had here this morning. We had two young boys that were dedicated and a little girl. She's only about 6 months old. You know, that little girl is going to become a child, a teenager, and a woman someday. If you saw her today, she's very cute, and she's content. She has a sinful nature inside. But what now? She's protected by her parents. And she's simply very happy in her life. But there will come a time in her life, and also the boy's life that we're here, that there will be temptation when she gets older as a teenager, and she'll be tempted with, you know, someone's going to try to give her a cigarette and say, hey, you know, or they don't have cigarettes today. It's in vaping today, you know, that's the end thing. And they would also try to tease her with and say, you don't want to drink. And, you know, the Bible says we're not to commit fornication. And there would be a temptation where a boy would come up and say, hey, you know, if you love me, you know, let me have sex with you. And she's going to be tempted. And then she does like so many people have done on this earth. She takes the drugs, she smokes the stuff, she drinks the poison, she goes to bed left and right, she gets pregnant, abortion, maybe have a baby. And from being here today, a sweet little baby girl, in a 25, 30, 40 years, she's a woman scarred by sin, having different desires, hooked on this or hooked on that. And the sweetness and the goodness is gone. And you got a hard woman, a hard man, that simply has his life destroyed. And Satan is saying, you're mine. I'm going to take you down early. I'm going to kill you. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. If you understand Christ and the devil. But most children today that are born, they don't go to Sunday school. Parents that have sinned and running around, they don't read the Bible to the children. They don't talk about Jesus. You got the televisions of babysitting. Now we got, you know, smartphones, and you got all kind of gadgets. I mean, you see children, you know, at an early age like this, and instead of doing things with their bodies, they're sitting in a corner playing with electronic gadgets and getting fat and sassy instead of being exercising and getting healthy. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read this. And then should the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Any person that is in his right mind knows this. If you don't have police in a community, you will have crime. We have laws so we can hold property. We have laws so you can have a title to your car. We have a lawful society built on laws. Some of them might not be that good, but basically, we have a lawful society. Now, it's insanity to simply say this. Let's defund the police. Let's get rid of the police. Let's have community workers. Let's have health workers. Well, if you've got somebody breaking into your house, and they're determined to rape the woman, steal what you have, and you said, I'm going to call social services. I'm going to get a social service person out here that will talk to you, Mr. Robber. He's not going to be impressed. He's going to say, call whatever you want. Just give me your stuff. Shut up. I do what I want. I got the gun. I got the power. You don't. That's insanity. And deception. So God simply said this in verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. You take Black Lives Matters, the Marxists, and all the other woke people, and all the other stuff that is going around right now, it's crazy stuff. It's madness. It doesn't work. It's going to be a disaster. But that's how Satan works it. If you turn to Revelation chapter 20, you're going to see how strong his deception is. And verse number 7, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to get them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Imagine this now, 1,000-year kingdom. Jesus is ruling. Satan is bound. He's not around on earth. Demons are not allowed to work. So you have full employment, no sickness, perfect climate, plenty of food, plenty of this, plenty of that, no wars, just good times. Jesus ruling out of Jerusalem. And you simply see how great things are. For 1,000 years, people are going to live that long. And then suddenly, here comes the devil and pops up, if I can use a term, on global television. And he simply has his advertisement. And he's dazzling, charismatic. And he simply said, you had it good here, but That's nothing to what I have to offer you. You had full employment. I got better stuff than that. You don't have to work when I'm in charge. I just give you money. You can go boating all day long or play golf or whatever you want to do. You don't have to work anymore. And I got food. I got the fine food. I got everything. The majority of the people who have seen the goodness of Jesus have lived in a perfect society where there are no snakes, no spiders that bite you. Everything is perfect. We look upon that dazzling figure and simply say, well, what a program. Oh, Jesus, the kind of dough. No alcohol, no drugs, no sex. But this guy here, you know, we can have it all. And they're going to go for him. And then it's going to be a last war. He's put in lake of fire. And millions of people standing and realizing, we got screwed. He was just a deceiver. Man, well, we got screwed. But you know what? It's too late. When you make a choice at this time, it could be too late. Let me read to you the rest of the story here. Like Paul Harvey said to you, so the older. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead was in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoso was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you do not have Jesus as your personal Savior, if you have not been born again, and you die, there will be no second chance. You will end up in the lake of fire. You will be tormented for eternity. That's guaranteed by the Bible. Now, if that's truth, who wants to go to hell? Who wants to go to the lake of fire? No one. But the problem is the devil says there is no hell. There's no lake of fire. It's just an imagination. Fire and brimstone preachers. They do that to get more money in the offering plate, scare the people. Well, I want to scare the hell out of you and get you to heaven. Then, you know, be nice to you and you end up in a lake of fire. You would curse me for the rest of your life that I was too nice to you. I want to tell you this story. Let me take you back to about 1977. We had a church here in Carmichael, Sacramento. And I had the board of deacons. And I had one guy that was very assertive. And he came up to me one day and said, Pastor John, he said, do you know that you can opt out of Social Security as a clergy? I said, I guess I can. He said, I highly recommend that you opt out of Social Security. Because by the time you hit 65, it will be gone. It will not exist anymore. You might as well take that money now and spend it. Because Social Security is not going to be around in 1960 when you get 65. I took one long look at him. And, you know, he said, you know, the church will take care of you. And I thought, yeah, the church will take care of me. That guy, he left a long time ago. If I was on the street begging, he couldn't lift the, he would not lift the finger. He was simply as well as tough luck. So I made a decision. I am going to stay in Social Security. He railed at me. He said, "You're stupid. The economy is going to crash. Everything will go down the tube." I said, "Fine. You do what you want to do. I'm going to stay in the system." I hit 65. That's about 60 or 70 years ago. And I got a check every month of Social Security. My wife got one, too. That's one of the reasons that I can afford to have her in the care home, because we got these checks coming in. If I were to listen to this guy, Steve, I wouldn't get a check. And I know, I heard of a pastor just the other day. He's about 86, 87 years old. He opted to get out of the Social Security system. And today, he's begging. Can't pay this, can't pay that, can't get into Social Security anymore. You made a choice, you're out. I want to paint that picture for you. It's the same thing at the great white throne judgment. You make the decision now to get saved. When you get there, you can't say, "Oh, I changed my mind. Hey, Jesus, I love you now. I want to be saved." He's going to take one look at you and say, "Too little, too late. When your body died, it was over. It had to be done before you died." I could not go back and say, "Well, I want to get back in Social Security." You can't. You opted out. That's it. Let me take you now to Numbers chapter 13. We're going to look now upon the Israelites. And we go back now to the virtual time run. Now, some of you are new. You don't understand what I'm talking about. So let me just give you a little quick rundown. Today we have video games. The video games we have in 2021 is far above what we had when the action was available in 1980. In video games today, you can engage yourself, you can do all, you can manipulate and so on. And also, you got simulators. You take an airline, a pilot's going to learn to fly airlines, big passenger jets. They don't put them in an airplane, they put them in a simulator. And he learns to work in a simulator, which is a virtual time run. He sees all the things, he got all the gadgets there, he can make adjustments, and that's how he learned to fly. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit simply had a virtual time run where they had this huge computer system and were able to do a virtual time run and see what would happen in the future. They'd also had the chance to come in and make adjustments. So the God had decided to, the Hebrews were given a chance to enter the promised land, regardless of the situation, and they resumed their virtual time run. In Numbers 13, we read from the first three verses, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Send your men that they may search the land of Canaan, which are given to the children of Israel, of every tribe of the fathers, shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them." And Moses, by commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Let me give you a background here. As far as God is concerned, he didn't need to send the 12 spies in because he knew the land anyway. But Satan had, but God had to follow the rules set up at the trial of Lucifer. So in other words, every move that God does, he has to use human beings that Lucifer can tempt and derail. Picture a trial. You have a prosecutor. You've got a person that is being tried. You have a defense attorney. And the prosecutor will try to prove his case. The defense attorney will try to prove his case in front of the jury. And then the jury decides, do they go over the prosecutor or do they go over the defense attorney? In this case, Satan is a prosecutor. And he also had the power to try every witness. A defense attorney is ruthless. He will simply say, if you have witnesses in a trial, he has his investigators. They find out everything about the witnesses. Where they work? Do they pay their taxes? Are they divorced? Do they drink? Do they take drugs? Have they been in prison? They simply try to find any dirt on that witness. And then the defense attorney will go in. And he will simply say, well, this witness is unreliable. Because he's done this, this, and this, and that. That's exactly what's happening between God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and Satan. So now, 12 men were sent in. Lucifer now had the opportunity to speak, to massage these 12 men. And we pick it up here from verse, I'm going to pick it up in verse number 21. So they went up and searched the land under the wilderness of Zin and to Rehob as men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmon, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came into the brook of Eshcol, cut down there a branch with a cluster of grapes. They bare between two upon a staff, and he brought the pomegranates and other figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes, where the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And but they went and came to Moses and Aaron, and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. So now we had 12 men came back. They spied out the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither you sent us. And surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. In other words, Satan came up and said, yes, it's a nice land. But, nevertheless, the people is strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. More we saw the children of Anak there. These were the giants. The Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwelt in the mountains. The Canaanites dwelt by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. A bad report. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which you have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitant thereof. All the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, we came of the giants, and we were in our sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. I want you to see something here and there. God simply said, I'm ready now for you to move into the promised land. Satan worked on 10 of the spies and said, you can't do it. It's impossible. Remember this, every day you will have evil spirits trying to derail you, destroy whatever you have, and put you in despair. Now, these people believed a lie. Let me read the bottom on page 1 here. The people believed the report of the 10 spies, and they wept all night from self-pity. Never mind the fact that Israelites seen the 10 plagues that destroyed Egypt. They see the cloud and a pillar of fire leading them out of Egypt. They walked across the dry sea floor and saw Pharaoh's army killed when the walls of water collapsed. They were eating the supernatural manna in the morning and consuming quail in the evening. They got the water from a rock and even saw Jesus land on Mount Sinai in a miraculous power display. They covered the mountain with fire and smoke and shook the ground. Had these multiple power demonstrations instilled faith in the people? Numbers 14:1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept at night. Self-pity. Instead of having faith in God, they had self-pity. The three children you saw me dedicate here today, you saw me and Satira dedicate, they were happy. They were content. They had faith. But the question is, what will they have 15 years from now when they are teenagers, almost grown to adults? Where will they be? Will they have the same faith? It depends upon the parents. It depends upon if they get the Word of God. It depends upon how they are educated. My parents sent me and my brother to church, to Sunday school. But my parents would not go themselves. My parents never read the Bible to me when I was home. My parents never talked to me about God. They never taught us anything. So we turned out pretty bad. And then God had to rescue us later. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation of them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we have died in this wilderness? Wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return into Egypt. People simply will forget what God has done. And they will say, let's return into Egypt. In our last election, which I believe was rigged anyway, you know, Joe Biden and company promised, you know, the Green Deal, they're going to this or that and so on. And a lot of people believed it. And the first day in office, you saw all the executive orders that had been written in advance. And the first thing that happened was, he killed the oil industry. Now they're killing the coal industry. They've done this and that. And now you are reaping the fruit. Here in California, we paid $2, maybe $50, $2.50 and so on. Now we're getting up to $3.50, $4, $5. And people says, well, why are we paying more at the pump? Hey, you voted for it, man. We still got gas. We got plenty of oil. But you know, we got to be green. The people that are in the top, they got money. They don't. If they pay $10 a gallon for gas, it doesn't face them. But face you. And that's what these people were here. And it simply said, we should have gone back to Egypt, being slaves. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them, searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which you pass through to search is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not yet against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. The people now made a choice. The demons had simply given them the deception. But all the congregation bade stone them with stone. They said, let's stone Moses, Aaron, Caleb, and Joshua, and let's go back to Egypt to our sins. And God had to intervene. Jesus showed up. In verse number 11, we read this. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have shown among them, I will smite them with a pestilence, disinherit them, and will make of you a greater nation and mightier than they. Jesus was ready to give them up. When we break things and we sin, God will, there is a punishment coming. We can intercede and ask God for forgiveness. And this is what Moses did. And we read from verse number 13 here. And Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for you brought up this people in your might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that you, Lord, are among us, people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and that your cloud stands over them, and that you go before them, by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and a pillar of fire by night. Now if you should kill all these people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of you will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land, which you swear unto them. Therefore we have slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech you, let the power of my Lord be great, according to as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering, of a great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting iniquity of the father upon the children, the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech you, the iniquity of this people, according to the greater of your mercy, as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Moses interceded. That's what we need to do with the church today. We need to intercede. We need to pray, even for the Biden administration. We need to pray for the people that are stupid, that are destroying our lives. We need to pray for them that God will save them. Because you see, you and I were stupid at one time. We walked in our sins. We were given opportunity to receive Christ. We repented and changed. And the Holy Spirit changed us. But remember this. It was not you coming to God. It was God coming to you. We cannot make a decision to repent. We can only repent when the Holy Spirit convicts us. Amen. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. I'm going to stop here in this message and simply leave us in this place now that Moses interceded and God said, I will pardon them. I will not wipe them out. Some of them lost their lives, but they had a chance to repent. And this is where you and I are today. If you feel bad about your life, that's good news. That means that the Holy Spirit is working with you. If you can drink and party and do all this stuff and you feel great, the Holy Spirit is not working. He left you in the dust. But if you feel bad, you feel, I really should change my life. That means that the Holy Spirit is still working with you. That means that the door is open today for you to recognize, yes, I destroyed things in my life. I'm divorced, remarried, this, that, just got out of prison. I just got out of rehab, whatever it is. And Jesus is saying this to you. If you repent of your sins, you put your faith in Jesus Christ and say, I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died for my sins and that he paid for them. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. If you come to that position right now, then the next step is simple this, that you confess it with your mouth and say, God, forgive me for all my sins. You don't have to specify them. I repent. I'm sorry, Lord. Come on in, Jesus. Come on in, Jesus, to my life right now and save me and wash me and take away my sins. I want to be born again. And that's exactly what he will do. And you will have a new nature. You will have a different mindset. The power of Satan will be broken. And you can start building a new life. That's an opportunity you have. I took that opportunity in 1965. Everyone here in this chapel has been around for some time. There was a time when we made a decision to move from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. Your choice. You can be like Caleb and Joshua and Moses and Aaron. Or you can be like the people saying, let's go back to Egypt. The election of 2020 is over. The choice was made for us. Now, things are not good. Have you noticed as you go to the grocery store, meat has priced out of sight. You buy a little piece of meat like this, they want $15 for it. 2 years ago, you could get that for about $5 or $6. Suddenly, everything is going up. Things are not good. Choice was made. Now we're praying. So I'm talking about your personal life now. Which way are you going to go? If you are watching me, you're backslidden. And you say, I used to go to church. I used to sing in the choir. Or I used to go to Sunday school, but I got away. I say this to you, come on home. You see, when you repent, you don't join the church. you come to Christ. Church is fellowship. You go to the because we have Christ. I feel like to us right now, I feel like to give an invitation for salvation and rededication. And if you are in the congregation, the chapel today, and to those of you that are watching us, wherever you are in the world, I don't know, and you said, today is a day that I need to repent. I'm going to ask the people in the chapel here if you would close your eyes and bow your head. And if you simply feel that you want to repent today, pray with me inside of you when I lead you in a prayer. My Heavenly Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I have messed up my life, and I need a Savior. I need to be born again. Oh God, it hurts inside. I believe, Jesus, that you are the Son of God. I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me. I believe, Jesus, that you are resurrected and you took away all my sins. And right now, Jesus, come on into my life. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. I want to be born again. Forgive me. Save me. Cleanse me. And give me the power to walk with you. And I thank you and I praise you, Jesus, for hearing this prayer in Jesus' name. And to those of you that are backslidden, pray this prayer with me. My Heavenly Father, I was saved long time ago, Lord. But I wandered far away from you. I left you. I went into the world. I've been stained with sin, alcohol, drugs, sex, pornography, whatever it is. I got filthy, Lord. I want to come home. Please forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I'm truly sorry. I repent right now. Jesus, take me back right now. Hold me tight in your arms and wash me again with your blood, that all my sins that I've got will be washed away. Help me to walk with you now in the future. I don't want to go back to sin. I want to go and walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask here if there's anyone here that wants to rededicate your life today. If you want to be prayed for, this I'm talking to people in the chapel right now. This is an opportunity for you. If you want to do that, you can just raise a hand and say that I want to be prayed for, and we will pray for you. If you are watching, you're a cyber member, or you simply just turned in for the first time today, here's what you can do. There's a phone number, there's an email address on our website, and you can either write us, call us, and simply say, I prayed the sinner's prayer where I came back to Christ Sunday, and I'll have counselors call you back, and they will talk to you and help you to reaffirm your decision and help you to simply start back to Christ and to walk in victory. So call us, write us, contact us. We want to be with you. We want to love you because God loves you. And God wants to forgive you. He wants you to come back home. He doesn't want to destroy you. He wants to love you. It's up to you. May God bless you as you make decisions today. So we can have Brother Thomas coming close.
I want to put out a reminder, too, that not everybody that's been to prison deserves to go there. Matter of fact, a lot of them, the people that sent them to prison ought to be the ones going there. So, I believe right now, too, that the narrative is being switched in America and around the world, of course. And the narrative I'm talking about is, you know, that hell program called the face mask, where they're now saying, and it's being gradually switched. Everybody needed to wear the mask. Now that you're vaccinated, so-called vaccinated, poisoned, you don't need to wear the mask. But those that have not been poisoned need to wear the mask. So I'm watching that narrative being switched right now in the mainstream propaganda machine. Okay, Father God, thank you for the Word of God. It is eternal. It is a blessing to everybody that takes part in the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for your Scripture. It keeps on getting better and better. I thank you for the many blessings that we take from the Word of God. And I know that there's forces that want to stamp out the Word of God. It is an exercise in futility. It will not happen. And I thank you, Father, for strengthening people and giving them faith and giving them power and giving them some guts, just like we saw with the Joshua and Caleb and Moses, Lord, that they were strong. And I thank you, Lord, when we saw what took place there in the Bible, that because of interceding by believers, you changed your mind. You didn't wipe them all out, Lord. And I thank you that you've shown me recently in my day-to-day that nothing is going to come to full capacity but by prayer. It has to be through prayer. I thank you for our many blessings. I thank you for Matt and his family that and their family dedication that took place today. And as Pastor John gave scenarios of what may happen in people's lives, and we often see the fruit of that. But we pray for that family. That's not going to be the case. And that those children will stay true to the Word. And I want to lift up my own grandchildren. I had a new granddaughter born this last week. That by supernatural power and intervention, that they will be able to receive the words of life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God?
And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 22nd part in the series, The Origin Story of Jesus, and was entitled, Miracles Don't Produce Faith. Humanity's free will is our greatest strength and a huge vulnerability. The Hebrews had seen the 10 plagues that ravaged Egypt, walked across a dry sea floor, seen Pharaoh's army drowned, eaten supernatural manna, gotten water from a rock, and seen Mount Sinai covered with fire and smoke. Did these miracles instill faith in the Israelites? Not one bit. Their journey brought them to the promised land, and 12 men were selected to explore the area. Lucifer convinced 10 of the men that it was impossible to prevail against the inhabitants. Their attitude amplified the fear and unbelief felt by the camp to the point that they rose up to stone Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb. As a result, Jesus intervened and punished the adults in an unusual way. They would all slowly die over the next 40 years for their unbelief, while simultaneously teaching the children about faith over the next 4 decades. The moral of the story is that the Word of God is what produces faith. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1810. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.